Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today I'm speaking with Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk a little about the Alexander Technique and its relationship with an idea that's pretty popular these days. It was popularized by Sheryl Sandberg, who's the chief executive officer of Facebook and a very prominent woman executive in a field that doesn't have a lot of them. And her concept is Lean In, which I believe is the title to a book she wrote as well. So that's going to be our topic. And for this topic, Imogen is going to interview me. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Imogen.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
So why don't you just start us off by defining the Alexander Technique, so we've got that context in which we're talking.
Sure. Well, the Alexander Technique is a 120-ish old, year old learning process that helps people to learn to go through life, movement, standing, sitting, walking, etc., on the surface of the earth, to which they are subjected to a number of forces, and to make the best use of those forces to do things easily and efficiently with less strain and discomfort.
Very good. And so, leaning in.
It would be good if you would say a word or two about that, because I know you've read her book and you've done some blogs, and you have a blog. I think it's fair to say that Sheryl Sandberg was addressing a lot of her ideas to women in particular,
right,
in the workplace.
So the concept, as I understand it, is leaning in refers to women sort of taking their place at the table. In the book, I remember she actually told of an actual situation where there'd been a meeting and two women had been invited by someone else to attend, and they, you know, were qualified experts, perfectly, rightfully should be there. But for some reason, they didn't sit at the table. And this was sort of an example through the book. Even when they were invited to, they chose not to. So they literally didn't sit at the table. So I think the concept of leaning in is like you're really making sure that you're in the game. You're taking up... Actually, I was going into a bit of Alexander Technique. I was going to say taking up the space that you rightfully should have.
Taking the opportunities that come to you.
Yes, and you know that we're
And it can apply to men as well. I mean, there are plenty
of
men.
It can, and actually her movement, there's a whole website, leanin.org, is inviting men to lean in too, and it's like, her concept would say, you know, for men, it might be more of a challenge to be that stay-at-home dad and be at the playground and do, you know, where it's a mom's world. Or so it's better for everybody. It's making it's equal opportunity in whatever situation.
Right, right.
Of course, there's many more, I think.
Right.
Where women, you know, do not have that equal status or whatever. So,
or they sometimes they don't, as you said earlier, don't fully accept opportunities, maybe. And again,
right. and you know, some of it has come down, you know, through our history, society, culture, but some of it is, even though we have the opportunity, we don't sort of stand up, lean in, and take them, even when they're right in front of us.
Right.
Yeah.
So, partly, in fact, because you're the one who has been blogging about this from time to time, about women's empowerment issues and so on, right? I started thinking about lean in the literal sense of the word. I think Sheryl Sandberg would see it as kind of a metaphor for how you approach situations in the workplace or other places.
But, right, yeah, but not holding yourself back.
Exactly.
Which, of course, is also metaphorical.
Right. But I started thinking about the physical manifestation of that. And a couple of things got me... a couple of things that I've always noticed but hadn't really connected with her ideas were, and I think a lot of Alexander student teachers will have experienced this with their students, that if they're working with someone who's, for example, a teacher, professor, public speaker, sometimes even a singer, they could be standing and you could be talking to them about something or other, and then you might say, well, why don't you imagine we're in a classroom and you're about to introduce a new topic or introduce yourself or whatever. Mm-hmm. And very often the person will immediately lean back a bit, sometimes quite a bit, but often it's a subtle leaning back. It's sort of moving the upper part of their body a little bit away from their audience.
So are you talking about it's not a whole, a holistic sort of movement of the whole of them. It's part of them going back.
It seems to me it's mostly leaning back from the waist. But sometimes... it could be sometimes it's a whole body leaning back. I'm not sure. I notice it primarily in the upper part of their torso that's gone back a little bit. And what I tell students who exhibit that pattern, and I can help point it out to them and make them aware of it using some basic Alexander teaching techniques, is that while it may be that the people in your audience won't see it themselves, they may not have the trained eye, and also they're seeing you from the front, but at some level I'm pretty sure they're going to sense it.
So they're getting some sort of nonverbal signal, even if they couldn't identify exactly what it is.
Exactly. There. And I think what that nonverbal signal is, this guy or girl or woman or whatever wants to get away from me.
Yeah.
And I've worked with a number of particularly speakers, teachers, professors, people who regularly are in front of classrooms or sometimes larger audiences, and I've helped them to identify the pattern. And depending on whether it's an in-person lesson or a Skype session, I'll give them some ways of not doing that. And they've often reported that for some bizarre reason, their audiences are responding better to them. And which is not really a bizarre reason at all, but they can sense the the effects, not just on their audience, but on their selves as they speak to.
Well, I'm just thinking off the top of my head as you're describing this, but if you think of the startle pattern, fight or flight. Mm-hmm. Flight is a bit of going away, and even a tiny bit of subtleness, a tiny bit of subtleness, that's not very well expressed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Very subtly going back, it's probably a little bit of that flight. Yeah.
And I see, I'm not sure exactly if it's connected, but over the last year, I've been very, with many of my students, I've spent time with them getting out of a chair, getting onto their feet, which, of course, Alexander teachers love as an activity. But I've been very interested in the last few inches of that process. In other words, what happens when someone is in a chair, gets onto his feet, and is pretty close to the end of the journey of towards standing?
Mm-hmm.
And what I see often is they will arrive at a nice standing I don't want to say position, but a nice, easy, upright
posture.
Stance. Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's not a bad word, but what I want to, it's not that they, it's they arrive at a place.
In a nice, neutral,
nice,
upright
easy,
standing.
Upright stand with very little effort needed to be there. And then immediately, instantaneously, they will add on something. And that adding on is almost always a backward pull, a little backward pull, again, the same backward pull of their upper torso, a little, their pelvis often goes a little forward to keep them from falling backwards. And it seems as though it's an idea, unless I do this extra stuff, I'm not really standing. It's not legitimate standing. And I find that that's a pretty easy thing to call students' attention to and to get them to notice and to get them to use directions, which are an Alexander method of whereby people can change the way they do things.
You know, the other, you know, again, Alexander speak would be to inhibit doing that extra thing, i.e. to
just not do it.
To not do it. Yes.
And time and time again, what will happen is that I get them to not do it. They're standing there. They often feel like they're perched too far forward, but they are not. I can bring out the mirrors to show them, and they're kind of shocked by what they see, because they think they're on the edge of falling over, and of course I point out that they haven't fallen yet, and often they may still be pushing back a little bit, but just not as much. And I think that's a bit related, and I also think it's a bit related to what you see sometimes with singers, for example, where they might be on a stage and they're perhaps not singing. Maybe it's a pause, or I don't know, they're being introduced or something like that. And then the minute they're going to start singing, the second they're going to start singing, they go into the singing stance posture, which usually involves some tightening up, stiffening up a little bit. And often has a little backward element to it as well. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and I think there may be, I'm not sure how they're all related, but they seem to be, to me, they are definitely not leaning in.
Literally.
Literally not leaning in, and literally leaning back. And for the student who's getting out of a chair and going to standing and is not a public speaker, it's not so much a speaking issue, but it's an issue of how you take your body with you as you do things, like go for a walk.
Right. I mean, it seems to me, whatever I from what you're describing, and I think I've observed this too, is in speaking, like we were talking about, you're also getting giving a nonverbal signal to your audience that you're kind of backing away from them, which isn't welcoming. But for just someone, you know, the public speaking's not an issue, it's nothing to do with it. I mean, you're adding extra tension, and anyone who has any sort of problem with excess tension, you know.
Right, absolutely.
Finding every moment that you can, any moment where you can do a little bit less tension would be good.
And my theory about this is that, and I noticed the same thing when students, when I do table work and a student gets off the table, if I don't give them a nice little pre-arrival at the floor talk, they'll often get onto their feet. They look really relaxed and poised and upright, and then instantly there'll be a little of this same pattern I've been talking about.
I'm laughing because I have a very clear memory of my own lesson with my first teacher. I'd had a few lessons, and she would get me up from lying down on the table, and this was not even to standing at this point, but you know, I guess it came to the point where she called me on it, because I did this. So I arrived and I was all lovely and released and upright, sitting there on the edge of the table. And then I'd sort of go back, kind of pulling my shoulders back and leaning back a bit from the waist, sort of what you're describing. And it's very interesting. And I think I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do.
Well, my theory is that many people have an idea about standing up straight that they've gotten from who knows where, often their mom, or could be their dad, or, you know, lift your chest, pull your shoulders back, all that kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And so let's say they're in a very nice, balanced state just before they arrive at standing, and then suddenly what kicks in is, oh, standing, whoops, I got to add a little something else. And that something else is getting in their way. But I have to say, I find it a fairly easy thing to help people with, because first of all, I get them to, when they're standing up from a chair, I get them to use a direction of some kind. Perhaps I'm free, or my neck is free, whatever. And I tell them, you know, that direction can come and go. But when you know that you're fairly close to arrival at verticality, and you don't happen to be thinking the direction at that point, if you have the wherewithal to just gently bring it to bear for the last second or so of the trip, and let it color what you do. And often that's when, on their own, they'll just end up in this nice balanced state that feels weird. And they can often also have a very clear sense of what they would want to do at that point.
Because they've got a frame of reference
exactly.
now. Exactly.
Yeah. Or another way that you can work with people is you can have them standing, for example, and you could be chatting with them. And you could say, well, now you're talking to me. We're having this pretty easygoing conversation. Could you imagine now that there's a group of students standing in a classroom in front of you and you're about to introduce yourself? Don't actually do it, but just imagine. And 9 times out of 10, they'll exhibit some version of that little pulling back, and they can feel it. You know, if you call it to their attention, they can sense it. And that then, you know, that gives them the wherewithal to say, well, maybe when I'm about to start talking to the class, I'll use an Alexander direction that will make that less likely.
You know? Yeah, I'm just thinking, and I don't know if this is something that you've thought about, because obviously there is the opposite to leaning in, which is when people sort of are really in your face, forward.
Hyper leaning in,
which is not what we want either, right?
Although it can be effective. I think one of the most well-known hyper leaners in America was Lyndon Johnson, president. I mean, he was a big guy to start with, and he would virtually envelop people that he was, whose arm he was twisting to vote a certain way. Or, I mean, people would come away from an encounter with him saying, well, I've changed my vote because I didn't really feel I had a choice. So, I mean, he used it, certainly with all the civil rights stuff that he did in a very tricky situation, he used it well, but, I'm not really talking about exaggerated leaning
No.
in. And I'm also, I think it's also important to be clear that the leaning in that I'm talking about is pretty, can often be very subtle.
And I take it you're, this is like a whole body. It's not one part going forward. It's a whole of you slightly,
I think
very
it's a
subtly
whole, I
leaning
think it's,
it.
I think it is kind of a whole of you. There may be a little more leaning in from the waist. I'm not sure. But what I want to emphasize is it's not a slump, a forward slump.
Mm-mm.
There's no compression involved. I was looking up synonyms for leaning, and incline was one, which I kind of mm-hmm. like. It's a slight inclination forward.
Mm-hmm. Of the whole of you, which wouldn't be
yeah.
a slump, because a slump would be part of you.
Exactly.
And that would also include a down, and you're not
right.
talking about...
So, yeah, I think probably yeah. from... Done best, it is a whole. It is a whole body subtle movement, and I think it makes a big difference in how people react to you. Not just you as a public speaker or a teacher or a singer, but you as just a person out there interacting with people.
Yeah.
People pick up on those nonverbal cues. I mean, there's a lot of research that suggests that nonverbal information has sometimes a much bigger impact on an audience than verbal.
Right, it's
verbal
meant to be. I've heard figures from like 80 to 95%
exactly
apparently of how people respond.
Exactly.
To
so.
It's, I mean, that also, it's not just your body, it would be tone of voice and, you know, but a whole right. bunch of things that are nothing to do with what you're,
right.
the content of what you're saying. So.
And I do think the Alexander technique is an excellent process for bringing your awareness to it and showing you in pretty simple ways how to essentially not do it. And allow for perhaps a very slight inclination forward if it's appropriate.
Right.
It's not a hard thing to teach in my experience. People can usually pick up on it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. If you can, you know, get them, you want to get them to notice what their habit is and even mm-hmm. engage in it. Go ahead and do it and see and notice what you do when you do it, and then maybe we'll see about a way you can just not do it.
So, yes, it's great.
Right. So that's all. That's really all I have to say. But I got to say, I owe it to you because the topic, because I forgot the name of your current your new website, Empower. What is the
well,
name?
No, it's bodyintelligence.me.
Bodyintelligence.me, and it is what is the general topic?
It's well, the title is Body Intelligence for Women in Business, so it's really ways the Alexander technique can help empower you as a woman out there in the
right.
workforce.
And
yes.
I would think this would be a perfect bit yeah. of information for that site. It's very strongly
yes,
related.
Absolutely.
And you also on that site discuss other methods of increasing your confidence and things like power poses and so on.
Yes. Which, you know, all from my perspective as an Alexander Technique
right.
teacher. But yes,
right.
absolutely. There's lots of tools we can use to...
Right. Right.
To help us lean in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't really have anything else to say
okay.
on this topic.
Wow.
Do you? I know. It's shocking.
I know. Okay. Well, very, very interesting, Robert. So I'll hand back to you to, I guess, close us out.
Yeah. Well, I've been speaking today with Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. She's also a web designer. I'll put a link to that site we just mentioned by the interview, as well as to her Alexander Technique site, and I'll also put a link to a site that will give you more information about the Alexander Technique in general. So thank you so much for doing this, Imogen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Very interesting.